morning. Let's just pray. Dear Father God, I pray that the words that I now bring are the words that you want us all to hear this morning. Be in my mouth. Change words that need to be changed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This sermon here delivered by Peter was probably his second greatest. Think to yourselves what was considered the best. And here, Peter does what he always does, jumps in feet first as he's delivering this gospel message. He was telling them straight, telling them just like it was. The setting of this sermon itself is rather unique, and most, if not, well, many of us, no, most of us, would have missed out on the opportunity to deliver the word here because of the makeup of the audience. This event found in our text took place on Solomon's porch, and which was where a man who had once been lame was now walking and dancing and praising God. We all know the song. And the text says that he was holding on to Peter and John, and that the people around him were amazed and astonished as they watched this man who had been healed at the hands of the apostles through the name of Jesus. So as the crowd gathers, Peter gets the boldness he needs to seize the opportunity. And he shouts at the crowd. He says, "Don't stare at us." He wanted to make sure that they understood that the apostles were not the heroes. They were not to be put on a pedestal, and they were not to be treated like gods. Instead, he redirects their gaze, and he gives clear testimony about the power source behind this miracle. And he doesn't just tell them about Jesus. No. He's much bolder than that. He tells them what they did to Jesus. Peter confronts the religious leaders with their own sin. And he begins this message by asking them, "Why are you astounded at this miracle?" And then he reminds them. He reminds them that they had delivered up God's son, Jesus. He reminds them that they had denied Jesus, the holy and righteous one. He reminds them that they desired a murderer, Barabbas, instead of innocent Jesus to be freed. And finally, he reminds them that they had killed Jesus. You want to talk about preaching an unconventional message? Well, here it is. Because this was the same crowd that had demanded the crucifixion of Jesus just weeks before. And you would have thought that Peter would shy away. You would have thought that Peter would dance around the real issue, which was that most of those who rejected Jesus were the notable religious leaders and faithful synagogue goers. But that did not bother Peter at all. He understood the bigger picture. When all is said and done, when we stand before God, the question will be, the question that we have to answer is not how good we've been on this earth, because the Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In the end, the question will not be, what was your title? What did you do? What denomination were you? The question will be, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? Those religious leaders in Peter's time may have made numerous errors in their day, but actually Peter was trying to help them to see their biggest error was the rejection of Jesus Christ, because he refers to Jesus as the holy and righteous one. And these were designations for the long prophesied Messiah that every Jew would have recognized. Peter calls Jesus the Prince of Life. Peter is affirming Christ's deity, that he was God in flesh, God's the Son. And Peter's pointed remarks were unmistakably clear. They had killed their own Messiah. They had screamed, "Crucify him!" They had called for a wicked murderer to be freed, not the holy Messiah. they had committed a grievous sin. But Peter actually wasn't trying to convince them of what bad sinners they were. That's not what preaching is all about. We don't come to church to get beaten up and told about all the things that we don't do. Let's face it, we get beaten up by cares of this life. We get beaten up by our finances. We get beaten up sometimes by our enemies. We shouldn't be beaten up in our worship experience. Peter was delivering a tough message, but he wasn't saying that they were bad sinners. But rather, he focuses on the magnitude of what would rob them of God's blessing, the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ and his gift of salvation. And the message of rejection is personal. Peter tells this Jerusalem audience what their part has been in this shameful business. And he points his accusing finger at them and he said, "You handed Jesus over to the Gentiles. You refused to acknowledge Jesus. You killed Jesus. You demanded that a murderer be given freedom over Jesus." You see, Peter could not let them off the hook. They needed to understand how big a deal this was. Unless the Jews acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah and recognized that he was God and that he had died for their sins, they could not have their sins forgiven or receive God's blessing, no matter how religious or holy or obedient or righteous they thought they were. They needed the one they had rejected in order to be saved. And if we don't acknowledge Jesus as our personal Lord and Saviour, then we are lost too. None of us can be made right by religion, by our church, by our religious works, by our obedience, by our good deeds. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but me. So the question of us all today is, what have you done with Jesus, the Son of God? It doesn't matter what good things you've done in your life. It only matters what you have done with Jesus. The next thing is that Peter points them to Jesus as their answer. He looks at this guy who has just been healed and points out it was by faith in the risen Jesus that this man had been made whole. And then Peter recognizes that the people's acts was not a malicious act of sheer wickedness, but it was done out of ignorance. Their rejection of Jesus was a blundering act of ignorant minds. Even Jesus on the cross says in Luke 23, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." Ignorance isn't a bad word. Ignorance means we just don't know any better. In the midst of being crucified, spat on, ridiculed, denied by the disciples, Jesus was able to say, "Father, forgive them. They were ignorant." And sometimes we hold on to that word. We say, "Oh, I didn't know." And we hold on to it like a get out of jail free card. But ignorance has its limits. It doesn't excuse us. In his earthly ministry, Jesus made it clear over and over again who he was. But his audiences, especially the Jewish leadership, would not believe them. Though there had been ignorance, even though the scriptures had predicted the ignorance and rejection, they could not be absolved of their guilt. But I'm so glad that Peter leaves them with some good news. He then tells them what to do to be right with God and experience his blessings. Because he says, "So turn away from your sins, turn to God, then your sins will be wiped out. The time will come when the Lord will make everything new." Their ultimate sin was rejecting Jesus as their Messiah and Saviour. And Peter didn't mince his words and told them to do two things to have their sins blotted out: repent and turn to God. Remember, nowhere in the Bible does it say, repent and be saved. We must repent and turn to God. When you read the context here in Acts 3, it's clear that Peter is telling them to change their minds about how they viewed Jesus. The biggest problem with those who crucified Jesus was not how wicked or how sinful they were, but because, come on, let's remember, they were the most religious and righteous people on earth at that time. Their problem was that they rejected Jesus as the Messiah and as God. Peter wasn't telling them to repent of all their sins or to turn from a life of sin. They didn't need to change their mind about sin. They already hated sin to the point of observe legalistic interpretations of the law to avoid even a hint of sin. No, their problem was that in all their religiousness and piety, they had rejected their Messiah and had thus rejected their God. And I'm so glad today Jesus extends grace. But we have to remember that it was costly. Our sin can be wiped out. We can know the refreshment of a new life, but we must turn to God and turn away from our sin. And again, we must appreciate the courage of Peter. It was easy in one sense to talk about sin and grace, but it can be terrifying to personalize it. But each of us must recognize that we, in effect, at times, disown Jesus. By refusing fellowship with his body, every time we gossip, every time we break his commandments to love our neighbors as ourselves. So we must turn from our wickedness and flee to the righteousness of God. Peter's audience had rejected Jesus. Their guilt was great. But the good news for them and the good news for us is the same. We can't outrun the grace of God. We need help, and Jesus gives it. And we also have a responsibility to speak the word just as it is, just as Peter did. So we need to courageously speak about Jesus. He was rejected. He suffered. He bore sin on our behalf. It's worth talking about. Courageously speak about Jesus. He is alive. The cross isn't the end of the story. He defeated the power of death. It's worth talking about. Courageously speak about Jesus. He extends grace. We can know freedom from sin. We can know refreshing wholeness. It is worth talking about. But Peter's sermon must have left the people with a question. Shall we do? Before anyone can understand the good news of salvation through Jesus, they must be faced with the bad news of their sin and guilt before we can lead them to the answers to anything like, what do I need to do for eternal life? How can I strengthen my relationship with the Lord? How do I love my enemies? The answer is, Jesus is all that you need. And if you don't know what you need, remember, he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, and everything in between. He is what you need, what everyone needs, when you need him and how you need him. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And when we turn in faith to Jesus, our sins are blotted out and erased from the file. Then we are refreshed by the Lord, renewed and revived, finding our rest at last in him. So be bold, have courage, have faith, hold on to Christ, as there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And remember, we need him now and always. Amen.